The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Here we go. We're back. Believe You Me. Second episode of the week. Michael Bisping looking better. I will say, Mike, you seem a little more lucid, a little more with it today. You seem like you're in less physical pain, a little less grumpy.
Well, I'm certainly not a little less grumpy, okay? Let's get that right out of the way. I'm a grumpy old bastard, always will be. I'm not seeing demons anymore. The voices in the head, they have surpassed, they have left. I'm just back to the usual voices that tell me to kill people.
Those other voices, to be honest with you, were probably telling you to be nice to people. They were probably good for you.
Yeah, no, they were, definitely. But I tried stopping all medication because I had enough. It didn't last very long, though. Unfortunately, they're there for a reason. The pain is incredible, so I had to go back to them. But other than just being stuck to the couch and the bed, you know, it's just the boredom. The boredom is the real issue. Other than that, I'm all good. Yes, am I in pain? Yes. Is the pain level a 10? Yes. Has it got any better in 8 days? No. Am I closer to walking, getting my life back? No, I'm not. Am I driving my wife crazy? Are we on the brink of divorce? Yes. But all this is by the by. It will be worth it when the time is said and done. But yeah, it's bloody miserable, Lewis. But nice to be talking to you.
Technically, the pain... maybe it's not less pain, but your body has become more used to it, though, right? So if you have a toothache, after a couple of weeks of having a toothache, you're just like, all right, well, it just is what it is. So it's going to bother you. It's not the same type of intensity of bothering you. It has to be a little bit better.
Yeah, you grow a tolerance to it. Just like you do to the pain pills. You grow a tolerance to them. So then you got to take more. Just like you do with booze. Yes, I have grown tolerant to the pain. It's driving me crazy. It's just always there. But it is what it is. Listen, you know, it's not the end of the world. I'm going to get better. The only problem is that next week I'm supposed to fly to Texas. You know, I'm involved with company Playline. I'm one of the founders. We're the official game for NASCAR. We're on the track, we're on the TV production. So next week we're going to go to a NASCAR event in Texas, and I've got to walk out onto the track giving it the big one. Okay, drivers, start your engines, yada yada yada, 3, 2, 1, go. But when it comes down to it, fucking little old me, I'm going to come hobbling out on a fucking set of crutches. Do you know what I mean? And it's really going to kill the sexiness. They're going to be like, oh, we've got former middleweight champion, total badass. And then out comes, you know, little old guy. And then I'm supposed to fly to London after that. And then I'm supposed to fly to Sao Paulo. So I've got a lot of traveling coming up. And right now, I cannot bend the leg at all. So the traveling, that's the only thing I'm a little apprehensive about.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be very inspirational coming out under the NASCAR track. You know, you're supposed to come out like, you know, former middleweight champion, wave your hands. Everyone's like, this is a real badass, a real, you know, you're just fucking coming out like a 75-year-old woman just dragging your dead leg behind you. Just like, what is this, everyone?
Yeah, with like a couple of people like holding an oxygen tank for me. I got my walker and stuff. They're like, oh, my God. Oh, this... my God. I tell you.
I was gonna make a dumb joke. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say yesterday they took the dressing off Harrington, get ready to roll tape. In fact, just roll the tape whenever. Yesterday I got a message to take the dressing off my knee, revealing 40 staples in the leg. Kind of grosses me out, but it was good to see what's going on there. We got the tape, Harrington.
Ooh.
There it is. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Why would you get so close?
Just trying to get the fucking artwork, dog. You're trying to get the shot. The money shot. Jeez. That is disgusting. It really is.
Shit.
And get ready, the hers.
Ah, you're pulling my bloody hairs off. Thank you, babe. Wow.
Look. So, yeah, so that's what's going on underneath it all.
You know what you should be for Halloween?
Go on. Frankenstein.
Yeah. Get some across your head, have your leg up on a thing, you know? Or you know what you could even do? You could lie down on a table and you could just sit up and, like, your kids can push you around the neighborhood.
Well, two things immediately. Number one, I'm not making light of my injury, Lewis. Okay. This is not a gag. This is not a bit. This is not something to dress up and make fun of and skip around the neighborhood, you know, speaking to friends. This is a lifelong, you know, a life of wars and battles has led me to this. I'm not making light. And secondly, I cannot stand Halloween.
You can't stand anywhere.
That's true. I can't stand up at all. Good one. One to Lewis. Yeah, listen, I get it. Halloween's awesome. Halloween's great for kids. Great for kids that want to dress up as their favorite thing on TV. Lucas and I'm sure James are super excited for it. You know, they like to go shopping for the costumes. And it's a big deal. I remember as a child, it was good for me. I liked Halloween. I liked it because I got to dress up, right? And I go door to door and I get a little bit of candy or some sweets or some chocolate, preferably cash. Most of the time, if I didn't get cash, I was like very pissed off.
Do they give cash?
Ten pence.
Do they give cash a lot in England?
In the UK, they do. Yeah. And I used to go trick-or-treating like a month before, you know what I mean? Like every single night for a month, different parts of the town. And they'd answer the door. They'd be like, you're a little early. I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry. We're going to be actually out of town on actual Halloween. So we thought we'd start early. And they'd be like, oh. And they took you 20p. You know, but you got to 100 houses. You know, you're rolling in it. You got £5 in your pocket, baby boy.
That's not bad. That's not bad as a kid. That's actually a pretty solid scam. You couldn't get away with that here. If somebody showed up at my door a month before Halloween and said trick or treat, I would literally physically attack them. I would call the cops.
Yeah, no,
I would
no, no.
They tried to break in and I would assault them because they are up to no good.
Absolutely. In America, you show up, you're like with an elaborate Halloween costume a month out, you know, maybe a fucking axe or something like that. You've got a good chance of getting your brains blown out in America.
Yeah. It's not good. All right, so you're saying you will not dress up. I would take advantage of it. I'm sure Lucas would love it. You can make Lucas Dr. Frankenstein. You could be the monster, and he just has you on his table, and, you know, you just get up, and he's alive. Trick or treat. You wouldn't do that for your kid and to look at the smile. Do you know how happy he would be?
I just, like every single day on the news, every single day, little kids dressed up cute. And don't get me wrong, they're cute, you know. You got little kids of different ethnicities on there. They're all dressed up. They're a little dragon. They're a little cat. They're something. And they're on there. And yeah, it's cute. But every single day on the news, you kind of become desensitized. At first, you're like, oh, it's cute. Yeah. And after a week, you're like, oh, these again. After a month, you're like, just kicking them in the face. I don't want to see these on TV. By the time they come to my front door, it's like, the game's up, baby boy. Get the fuck off my lawn and I'm setting my dog on you. Simple as that. Get out of here.
They do this every year on the news. Like, they always pick like one costume that they're like, this costume is taking it too far. Like, it used to be like, you know, like an American Indian costume. And then it was like, I guess last year they were getting mad at like little girls who were dressing up as a one little black princess if they weren't black. This year they're taking off child bride costumes off the shelves. Because I guess people.
Why?
Because I guess child brides is such a big problem in the world that it triggers people to see a little girl in a bride costume.
Yeah, well, no, to be fair, I mean, I get it. You know, women, you know, like children, you know, human trafficking, certainly when it's children and being shipped off to be brides, that's not something we want to encourage in this world. But still, I think if you look at the innocence of it, it's a young girl that's aspiring one day to be, you know, married to the man of her dreams, you know, and she goes out in a wedding dress. I don't see any issue with that. I think that would be instilling traditional values. You know, yes, of course, there's a murky side to everything, but I think look at the innocent side first.
I think that every child bride costume should also come with shackles and like a cage that they have to sit in. That'd be actually a great costume. Maybe I'm going to make James a child bride for Halloween. Just put him up with a wig and a little dress. It's just.
Oh my God.
Look, I know it's a real thing. I know it's a real thing, but it's not. Is it that prevalent? Child brides. I mean, how often is that happening in the world? It can't really. I mean, I guess in like third world countries, it happens all the time. Not in this country, not in this hemisphere, Brian. Come on.
Listen, we sat prior to starting this show. What are we talking about? We have to catch up. Halloween. Get into the Nate Diaz stuff. There was no mention of human trafficking, child brides. You know, you throw this on me like I need to have some kind of fucking information on it. Listen, as vast as my knowledge is, my knowledge of child brides, human trafficking amongst the child sector, my knowledge on that is pretty slim, right? I cannot talk about it with authority on a podcast, Lewis. Why would you throw me under a bus like this?
How much? Now, I'm not saying you're condoning this. Obviously, you're not. But how much you think a good child bride should go for? Market value. What do you say? If you had an eyeball, how much do you think she's going for?
I mean, English, young, blue eyes, blonde hair. I mean, that's top of the food chain there. I mean,
of course.
That's a high price. You
not
know?
A little Puerto Rican girl. It's like fucking $80.
Yeah, you buy one, get one free.
Oh, shit.
We shouldn't be making jokes about this. This is fucking terrible. This is awful. But let's get, how about that Nate Diaz situation? No, but what is James going as this year?
He's decided, well, we went to the Halloween store the other day. This is the first year that he didn't have it like decided before we went. Usually a month before he knows what he wants to be, and he kept on changing his mind. So we get there and he wasn't he wants to sort of be inspired. So he ended up going straight to the like the really scary section. This is the first year he wanted to like be something really like ghoulish or creepy. And he ended up picking a really cool werewolf costume.
Werewolves are good. That's always a solid option. I like a werewolf. If I was gonna dress up a werewolf, something like that, I think. You know, I certainly would. You know, like these lame comedy ideas where I'm just going to go as a TV or I'm going to go as a speech bubble or something crazy like that. Lucas this year, he's picked this thing. I don't know what it is. It's like a skin tight zip on suit. I guess you could call it a gimp suit from child fiction.
He's going as a child bride.
You know, he's all zipped up super tight and it goes over his head. Thing is, it doesn't fit him. It's far too small, but he refuses to accept it. I'm like, Lucas, we need to send this back. We got it off Amazon. I said, it's too small. It will zip up over his head and at the back. And it's like skin tight. Black,
oh, it's like one.
And like two big, massive eyes. It's like what? It's like a onesie.
This, the gimp costume.
Wait, it's he's not a gimp costume.
Wait a minute. Is that it? That is a sexual costume, Michael. That's an S&M costume. You bought your kid an S&M costume for Halloween?
Listen, motherfucker, that is not the one. I am not in control of the computer here, okay? Brian brought up the gimp costume. I made a joking, lighthearted remark that it resembles in some way a gimp costume. It's skin tight. I'm going to get Rebecca to send me. It's skin tight. It doesn't fit properly. I'm like, son, we need to send it back. You know, when the kids are like, no, it won't come in time. I'm like, son, it's a bad costume anyway, but it doesn't fit. And I think you're going to pass out unconscious soon because it's restricting the blood supply to your head. Let's send it back. You know how kids are. Like, no, I want to keep it. I want to keep it. But yeah, it somewhat resembles a gimp costume.
Yeah, so you said you would be a werewolf, but you wouldn't be Frankenstein's monster. It makes no sense. Werewolves are agile and they can walk. They can see at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's all, I mean,
they're badass.
Yeah, yeah.
Werewolves are badass. They could take on the most of the world. You know, they're smart. They're mysterious. You know, there's something about them. They have a certain allure. You know, they react to moonlight. They're very sexual. Women are attracted to them.
None of those things are true. These are vampires.
I see a lot of my qualities in the werewolf and in the vampires as well.
You're confusing vampire qualities and werewolf qualities. Werewolves are not sexy, okay? Werewolves, the full moon comes out and they turn into fucking dogs and they fucking eat people alive. There's nothing sexy about a vampire.
Bro,
what is this?
Bro, have you seen that is not what Lucas is going as either.
This is a sexy wolf.
What the fuck is that?
That's James's costume.
Hey, bring that back. I want to go as that. Or just send me that picture. Take a screenshot of that for me, please, Brian. No, have you seen Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Yeah.
Dude, what a movie, number one. Bram Stoker's Dracula. But you know the woman, like the redhead, and she's like, she's afflicted. She turns into a vampire eventually. The werewolf comes in the night and bangs the hell out of her on the waterfall. She's totally seduced by that werewolf.
Oh, my God.
You know the scene I'm talking about?
That's like jungle fever for the monster community. They don't usually allow that.
What do you mean?
Jungle fever, they say, is when, you know, a black guy and a white chick, they used to call it jungle fever.
Oh, geez, Louise. Lewis, please, please. You want to go there? Legion of Skanks.
There's a movie. Podcast. There's a movie called Jungle Fever. It's a real term, okay? You fucking asshole. It's a real term. And it was a good joke. Jungle Fever in the monster community, a werewolf and a fucking vampire. Okay. These are solid Halloween jokes, guys. These jokes and more on the special Halloween edition of Believe You Me next week. We're giving a little Halloween preview right now. I'll dress up next week for Halloween.
That'd be the lamest thing. See, that's the thing, right? You dress up. It's funny at the start. Ha, ha, ha. 5 minutes, a little bit of hilarity. We bust each other's balls on the costume. But then 90 minutes later, when we're sitting there and we're breaking down main events and we're making picks and all the rest of it, the joke's kind of worn off. It's like when I got inducted into the Hall of Fame in the summer, right? They give you a jacket. They give you a Hall of Fame jacket, a nice suit jacket. So then on the Saturday, I went out that Friday night. I had my Hall of Fame jacket on. Yeah, okay. Went out for a good dinner, overindulged, had a few beers. Woke up the next morning and I'd only brought one suit. And the suit that I had on was crumpled up on the floor. Right? And I thought, oh, do you know what? I got the Hall of Fame jacket. Right? So with a pair of pants, I wore the Hall of Fame jacket. And it says it in massive letters on your chest, Hall of Fame inductee 2019. And I thought, well, if ever there was a weekend where I can wear the Hall of Fame jacket, it's this weekend. And I was still a little bit intoxicated when I showed up. And I rocked up full of it with my Hall of Fame jacket on and everyone's laughing. They're like, oh, that's hilarious. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, it's a bit of a dick move, but this is the one weekend I can wear it, right? And it was okay for the first 20 minutes. But 6 hours later, when we're all there and bored as hell and people are just walking past, they don't know. They don't know the context. They actually think that you're just a big-headed, arrogant asshole standing there legitimately wearing his Hall of Fame jacket. Do you know what I mean? The moment passed, but it was the only jacket that I had on. And I feel if we dressed up something similar, you know, we'd have similar emotions.
I don't think so. I think me and you should do a costume contest between us. The fans can choose whose costume they like more next week's show. And honestly, we don't have to wear it the whole show. We could just do our thing. It has to be a Believe You Me theme. Don't tell me.
I'm gonna dress up as you, and you're gonna dress up as me.
I'm gonna be really mean.
All right, so you be as mean as you fucking want. I'm going to look like Luis J. Gomez. So that's mean enough in itself.
All right. Let's see. We'll tell you. All right, whoever does a better job dressing up as the other one, the loser has to blow the other one in front of their family.
Jesus Christ, Lewis.
Yeah, I'm going hard, bitch. Let's go, baby boy. You want a party?
Steady on, doggy.
You want a party?
A little bit of light-hearted fucking Halloween banter. All of a sudden, we're being forced to do sex acts live on air. Do you know what I mean? Jesus. Louises. All right, then. Do you dress up as me? I'll dress up as you. We'll do a Halloween special. It'll be lame, but I think the funniest thing... I mean, it's easy. All I got to do is get a bald hat, right? I got to get some stupid glasses, get a mustache, you know?
I'm gonna literally pry out one of my eyes. You have no idea how into this I get. I'm going to...
Oh, no, I know.
I go way fucking above and beyond. I'm gonna fucking have Harrington break one of my legs, like that scene in Misery with a sledgehammer. I'm telling you, I'm gonna really commit to this thing, and then you're gonna see.
You're gonna have to really commit. You're gonna have to like grow a sick head of hair. You know, I mean, admittedly lose an eye, but like just get in killer shape.
I know.
Body beast it all day long. Just lift a ton of weight. You know what I mean? Just like you get that chiseled jaw, that perfect beard. You know, all right, the one eye we've addressed that, but there you go, Lewis. Yeah, it's easy, man.
Get a dick implant.
Blue Chew all day.
Just coming with fucking Blue Chew raging boner. For my son, I'm dressing up as a werewolf hunter though. So I've made my own werewolf hunter costume.
Nice.
So that'll be fun. It's gonna be a good time.
I just feel like in general, adults dressing up. It's a little lame. And women, because we all know every year they just want to dress up as sluts, right? Any woman that dresses up for Halloween is always a slutty version. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm a slutty witch. I'm a slutty with this. I'm a slutty that. It's like, oh, come on, stop it. Please, please. Grow up. You're somebody's daughter or somebody's mother. Okay, act appropriately.
Let them fucking be slutty. They get a couple days a year where they get to be their little slutty selves. Okay, and why are you trying to impede on that, Mr. Bisping? This is the new time. This is 2019. This is real feminism now. Okay, so if they want to be a slutty nurse or a slutty, you know, dog walker, I don't know what other costumes are out there, but I think it's great. Good for them.
All right. Well, we'll dress up next week and we'll see how it goes. I will remove costume halfway through. But, all right, enough of that.
All right, Mike, real quick, let's talk about one of our incredible sponsors, which is BetDSI. Great sponsor, been in the business for over 20 years, top rated on most business review sites. And they have a super easy to use and fast playing interface, which is incredible. It's so easy. A child could do it. Sometimes I even have my child just make my bets for me and say, fuck it, really roll the dice. Also, my favorite part, Bisping, about BetDSI is that they have customer service available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Yeah, and the good news is, listen, they've been around for 20 years. This isn't no startup, fly-by-night, new kid on the block. 20 years in the business. They got a reputation of fast payment of winnings. And as we know, anytime there's a fight, a sporting event, a football game, whatever it is, you put money on it, it's more fun to watch. Of course, big fight, Askren versus Maia. I say put your money on Damian Maia, but if you go there, if you go to betdside.com, they have a terrific offer. BYM120, Lewis, I think it is. Go there. And what is the cash bonus match they'll give you, Lewis?
They give you 120% bonus. That means that they are more than doubling your money. If you put $100 down, you get to play with $220 in the sports book only. So you can't use it for the poker or like the card sites or those games. But for the sports book, any sports betting, you get 120% bonus. Pretty damn incredible. Spend a little bit of cash. You can have a lot of fun doing it as well. If you've ever watched a fight after you put money on it, I will tell you right now, it completely changes the experience. Once again, that is betdsi.com. Use that promo code BYM120 and go make some money. All right, where were we?
We were going to do a show on Wednesday. Of course, we're here now on Friday.
I'm glad we didn't. It.
Me too. That's what I was going to say. A lot of the time when we do it later in the week, it gives more time for news to escalate. Of course, a lot has happened this week. McGregor held, there wasn't a press conference. He had an event in Moscow, and he's laid out his return. A few other things have happened. But the big one yesterday, Nate Diaz obviously popped you sort of informed him of an irregularity, basically. And generally, in that situation, you're pulled from the card, and that's that. Now, of course, famously, John Jones, I would say, is the only one where that didn't happen, and then they moved the entire event to Las Vegas. But yeah, as of right now, we don't know if the fight is on. We don't know if the fight is off. I do see a lot of people trying to talk shit on Twitter because... In fact, Harrington, have you got a press release or something you can break it down for the listeners? For anyone that doesn't know, break it down correctly, and then we'll chime in with our thoughts, et cetera, et cetera.
So the only release that I have is from Nate Diaz himself. I can read Nate Diaz's statement if you want.
Yeah, nobody else has chimed in so far, right? Like the UFC hasn't officially released a statement. USADA has not officially released a statement. This all just comes from Nate Diaz. Was this on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay, so Nate just tweets this out and then he breaks the internet.
Okay. I'm not going to make it out to NYC for fight week next week because they say I tested with elevated levels that they say might be from some tainted supplements. I call false on that because I only take whole foods or natural food supplements. I don't even eat meat. So until UFC, USADA, or whoever is fucking with me fixes it, I won't be competing. I'm not going to play their game, try to hide, or keep quiet as they suggest. I'm not going to... Just click on that.
Yeah, you guys are useless. I've seen you fucking about with it. There you go. There you go. There's a full screen. All right. I'm not going to play their game and try and hide it or keep quiet as they suggested. I'm not going to have my name tainted as a cheater like these other motherfuckers who keep quiet until after the fight just so they can get paid. Fucking cheaters. I don't give a fuck about some money over my dignity and my legacy. I'm not playing along with this bullshit. I'm not staying quiet and figuring it out after the fight. That's cheating. So fight game, I'll see you when I see you. Sincerely, the real baddest motherfucker in the game.
Wow.
Now, after that also, Masvidal came out. He said, you're not the baddest motherfucker in the game. I am. He said, but I do know that you're one of the cleanest motherfuckers. So in that regard, it seems that Masvidal's got no problem taking the fight. As of right now, the fight is called off. But I do see a lot of people on Twitter trying to formulate this idea that the UFC are like hiding things and being shady and all the rest of it. Because they said to Nate, you can keep this quiet for now. Right, I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, look at that, shady UFC. You can keep it quiet and all the rest of it. It's like, no, there's nothing shady at all going on. The UFC changed their protocol, if you remember, a while ago. USADA changed their protocol because in the past, if you tested positive or there was reason for a second test or an investigation or, you know, basically there was a red flag. Okay, there was a red flag with the test. You were pulled from the event and it was made public news. And then sometimes, not many, but sometimes further down the line, they did further investigation and then it was found that this person had done nothing wrong. But in the court of public opinion, right, the court of public opinion had already, you know, cast their stones and labeled you as a steroid taker. Do you know what I mean? So the damage to the PR was already done. So they changed their protocol and said, from now on, we're not going to mention it. And you don't have to mention it. Right. And that's all that is. It isn't anything sinister. It's merely them just saying, you don't have to go public and let this out. We're doing some more internal investigations. And until we've done that, we'll just stay quiet on the whole situation. You know what I mean?
And I agree with that. I do agree with that. My only problem with the situation is the fact that USADA is going to allow Nate Diaz to compete when he has elevated levels, right? So that's where it sort of becomes a hypocritical thing. And that's not necessarily a UFC issue. That's a USADA issue where, yeah, there's sort of a loophole there. It's like, well, all right, if you have a is it black and white, Harrington? Do you know sort of what the rule there? Because I guess because it's so close to the fight, I guess they didn't want to pull him from the fight. But at the same time, if he is cheating, how is USADA going to allow him to go and compete, you know, if he's cheating? So, and I don't think Nate Diaz is cheating, by the way. If there's, even with the statement that he releases, it seems like he's being so fucking honest. You know, it seems like he's just like, he's so like adamant about it. Like, you don't see guys, you know, usually it'll be, they'll be like, ah, you know what, you know, it was a tainted supplement, you know, we'll talk more about it. But he's like, I don't know. I just really, I believe him when he tweets this out, and there's no reason. He could have just stayed quiet about it and taken the fight and made the money, made the payday. But something's going on there. Well, it's a little good.
So two things. I mean, you're absolutely right. And I believe Nate Diaz. He came out yesterday, said, I don't take supplements. I eat at Whole Foods. You know, I don't even eat meat, for crying out loud. So he's upset. And listen, if he's, you know, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt, innocent until proven guilty. You know, we always say no smoke without fire, right? You know what I mean? But now, because it's Nate, and normally everybody has that opinion. No smoke without fire, but because he's such a fucking, you know, fan favorite, because he is vegan, because he doesn't eat meat, because he's taking a strong stance against steroids, everyone's automatically believing him. They're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is bullshit. This is bullshit, man. You saw this bullshit, but every other time it's been fine, right? Here's the reality, and I hate to break it, and I'm not shitting on Nate Diaz. I'm the biggest fan ever, and I want to see this fight. When I heard about this yesterday, it wasn't a case of, ooh, this is juicy gossip. It was like, oh, are you fucking serious? I want to see this fight. As a fan, I want to see this fight next week. But the reality is, he's tested positive for something, right? He's ingested something, and he can kick off all he wants, and he can throw his toys out of the pram, and he can talk all the shit he wants, and throw his, you know, and sulk and say, oh, fuck it, I'm out. The reality is, baby boy, you tested positive for a raised something. Harrington, I sent you a video earlier from a doctor explaining this. Can we cue this up? Because obviously they can explain it more than
Dude,
I can.
If this fucking doctor says the word picograms, I'm going to put my fist through a fucking window. I will not hear anything about picograms.
Yeah, but here's the thing real fast. You know, unfortunately, and I don't think Nate Diaz has taken a steroid, but we are responsible for everything that we put in our body, right? And something somewhere along the way has got into his body that has flagged, you know, has raised an alarm, it has raised a red flag. Unless they do a second test and it comes back negative and it was a mistake, which could be possible. But anyway, but let's hear from this doctor, because obviously way smarter on the subject than I am. Harrington, roll tape.
Good morning, MMA Twitter. Dr. Jared Vasquez here. We woke up this morning to a press release on the Nate Diaz USADA saga. We know the substance that was identified apparently, allegedly, in the sample, and it was a SARM, a selective androgen receptor modulator. In order to understand what that does, we have to understand what a receptor is and its relationship to a hormone or a ligand. So a receptor is a structure, a receptacle, as the word suggests, that receives a molecule that triggers an internal change in the cells, whatever tissue it may be. May it be bone, may it be muscle, nerves, whatever tissue it is. It received the signal from the ligand, the hormone. When we talk about SARMs, it's selective androgen receptor modulator. So that means that it selectively targets tissues specifically. So it works a little bit more refined than, let's say, just your typical testosterone replacement that works on many, many tissues across the board. Some of them not so desired, like, you know, mammary tissue, like, you know, in the testicles, creating that biofeedback in other places. This substance is definitely, it doesn't occur naturally in substance that you would consume naturally. I mean, if you were just eating regular nutrition, there's no reason for SARMs to be in your system. But selective androgen receptor modulators have been widely found in tainted supplements across the board. To name a few, we have Osterine, which is used in cancer patients for cachexia, for low body weight. BMS 564 929 or 929, yes. It's used for just to target the muscle. So these substances are kind of a designer drug, and it targets specific tissues. Hopefully it's another case of a tainted supplement, but it's a bummer, man. That BMF title, I was salivating for that. So now you know what all it right. is. It's a kind of a steroid-like substance that targets specific tissues.
There we go. There we go. We fucking got it. We know this. I mean, Lewis, you fully understood that. I see you in a smoky room. You've got your glasses on. You look a little different.
It's my brother. It's my brother, Dr. Gomez.
I mean, listen, after that explanation, we all fully understand, right?
Yeah, obviously. What the fuck was that?
He sends the... Listen, the main point of that is, at the end of it, he says, this cannot occur naturally. The body doesn't create these things. Okay, so it came from an external source.
Maybe
there he is. He's back.
Maybe right? Nate's body doesn't occur naturally. Fucking guys like me and you. It's a little different. But I didn't follow anything that guy was saying. Number one, because he was using a bunch of words that I didn't understand. Number two, because I was searching for glasses like this in the studio. So
Yeah. I was going to say you didn't understand the word because you immediately, as soon as it went off, you went out your chair, you took your headphones off, you started smoking as much weed as possible, looking for a gag, looking for a bit, paying zero fucking attention, and got back on in the last few seconds. An extra 10% high, an extra 10% dumber with those glasses. And all you're going to do now is come on. There's a guy, a medical trained individual, spent his entire life to medical science, okay? An expert in this field, and you couldn't even pay him the respect to sit down and listen for a second. Hasn't even appeared in the studio, Lewis. My God, the disrespect.
I did hear him say that he's salivating for that fight, which was pretty a hilarious way to describe it.
Well, listen, you know, I'm very much looking forward to that fight also. Listen, top and bottom of it is back to what he said. The reality is, judging by this doctor, he had to have ingested something, simple as that. Simple as that. And just because it's Nate Diaz doesn't mean you're above the fucking law. If you've ingested something, just like John Jones, just like anybody else, if you ingest something, right, that raises a flag at the lab, then guess what? You're responsible. Now, the big story is now is that is USADA doing more harm than good, right? Is USADA doing more harm than good? That's what people are talking about now, saying this is ridiculous. It's getting out of control. A lot of innocent fighters are being penalized and they can't fight and they can't make money and they're on the sidelines. Sugar Sean O'Malley is one case in particular. But there's been a lot of them, you know. But there's a lot of people also that get tested that don't flag up. You know, I got tested a lot. I never got flagged once, you know, and I wasn't particularly over the top with what I put inside my body, you know. So it's an interesting topic of conversation, but ultimately Diaz ingested something, simple as that.
But as of right now, they haven't pulled him from the fight. He's essentially pulling himself from the fight. What do you think the chances are that this fight goes off? Because, I mean, essentially, like, right now, everyone's freaking out. He's like, well, I'm not going to fucking win this fight and then be flagged and be called a cheater after the fact. That's crazy. I respect Nate doing what he did, the way he did it. Because at first, when I heard it, I didn't realize exactly what happened. I just sort of read the headline really quick yesterday or last night, and I was like, oh shit, he's out of the fight. He pulled himself out because of he got popped and he pulled himself out and he's going off. And I didn't realize exactly the nuance there and the details that they were going to let him fight. Very commendable. Nate doesn't lose any fans there. But do you think that this is gonna happen? I mean, what can they do to alleviate this? Because the fact that the chance that this isn't gonna happen, I mean, that fight was the most probably awaited fight of the year by far.
Two things to say. Number one, I think the fight is going to happen. You know, I think, I don't know, you know, crystal ball time. Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I think everybody wants the fight to happen. I think if they can, you know, do another test and they can isolate what caused this and what product it was, and then both sides, you know, Masvidal and his team and his manager can sit down and say, listen, all right, fair enough. There's no performance enhancing abilities to this, but it's just something irregular in the test. You know, I think in that regard, the fight will go ahead. I also say this, I mean, and I'm not shitting on Diaz when I say this, but I remember an old friend of mine, Robbie, right? And Robbie, right? Much love, Robbie, was full of shit, man. He was full of shit. And if you ever got called on his bullshit, do you know what he would do to mask it? To make it look like he was innocent, he would freak out so much. And the fact that he was freaking out so much, there's no way he can be lying because he's so offended. He's so offended that you're calling this and he's going psycho. He's smashing the house up. He's splitting up with his girlfriend. There's no way this is true. You know, you throw your toys out of the pram enough, right? You react big enough and therefore it gives off the mystique that you are innocent because you were offended. You are hurt. Right, Diaz is doing that a little bit here. I'm not saying that he has cheated. I'm just saying calling yourself from the fight, being a victim. You've done your fucking training camp. The fight is there next week. You know what I mean? Hold your hand up in the air. Play along with the situation. Say, yeah, you're right. I must have ingested something. Let's take a look at it and work as a team with the UFC, with USADA, and fix this problem. Don't just throw your fucking toys out the pram, you know, and then go to your iPhone notes and withdraw from the fight. You know what I'm saying?
The only reason I disagree is because I think that if he would have done that, people would be calling him a cheat right now. So regardless whether he's being disingenuous or he's being real, you know, had he been like, hey, you know what, I'm going to work with the UFC and I'm going to work with my team, and then the professional buttoned up response, I think it would be like, holy shit, Nate Diaz got popped. He's a cheat. But whether it's real or not, he's throwing this hissy fit. And I know that I'm going like, no, he would never. He would never. And so is the public. You said it right up top. You're like, you know what? Everyone's buying Nate's story here. So what is the move, really? I mean, I think if it's fake or not, it's the best play for his career, his legacy, how he's selling himself to the public and how he's selling himself moving forward. Because once you're tarnished, you're tarnished. I will never look at John Jones the same. I'm sorry, Anderson Silva, never look at him the same. These guys, their legacies are tarnished forever, especially to anybody who isn't just a casual fan.
Well, as of right now, we don't know what the substance is, you know. So with John Jones and who was the Anderson Silva, I mean, yeah, okay, you're right. I mean, they are tarnished. Diaz, listen, I'll come out and say it. I don't think he's taking steroids. I believe him. I truly believe him. I don't think he's that guy. I think after all the shit he talked over the years, just who he is, the fact that he doesn't eat meat, he's vegan, yada, yada, yada. I'll sit up a little straight, Lewis. I sink in this chair, this fucking leather chair, man. I slide off it. And plus, I've got a nice, silky, smooth Sheath underwear t-shirt on. Shout out, Sheath. No, but listen, I don't think he's taking steroids. I really don't. I think he's offended by it. And I think also, when you look at what happened to his brother Nick for smoking weed, remember he got banned from the sport indefinitely?
It was like 4 years.
Yeah, and then they made it 4 years. It's ridiculous. So Diaz and his brother and that whole camp, they probably have a very, very fucking sour taste in their mouth from USADA.
But sour taste in their mouth, probably sour diesel. Boom, I'm here with these bad jokes all night, everyone. I'll be here all night.
What is sour diesel?
It's a type of weed, you amateur. It's a type of weed.
Guess what? Guess what? Hold on, Rebecca. Do you know what sour diesel is? You do. Get the fuck out. She knows what it is. What is that? What is it? It's weed. Yes. All right. Yeah, it's right. Get out. Get out. Shut the door.
Oh, I love her.
Who are you? You brazen hussy. Walking in here half naked, knowing weed. God knows what she's up to when I'm out of town. Jesus Christ.
I can't wait for all the people rewinding the show now to see if they can catch a reflection in one of the pictures in the background.
Exactly. On like one of the mirrors or something. Yeah. Listen, I don't think he's taking, I don't think he's tried to cheat at all. I don't think that's his MO. I don't think it's in his DNA as a fighter. Nick and Nate are fucking badasses. Everybody knows that. That's why they're a fan favorite. But he's ingested something, right? And you got to play along. You got to be smart. Going against the system, going against the wheel is not the way forward here, right?
It's also
be a mature adult. You got to be a mature adult in this situation. Sit down, let cooler heads prevail. Throwing your toys out of the pram, saying, fuck this, I'm out, isn't the way forward. Sitting down saying, hold on a minute, let's be pragmatic. Let's find out the reason for this happening and then solve it. Go ahead, Lewis J.
Well, you keep on saying throwing your toys out of the pram. That is, for our American listeners, that is taking your ball and going home. That is what I'm assuming that's what that means. It's a very British expression.
Oh, really?
Throwing your toys out of the pram. What's a pram?
A pram is, you know, it's a buggy, what you, a stroller, what you push your kids in. It's a pram.
Oh, so they get angry and they're like, damn, I don't even want to play with these toys.
Yeah, I don't want my toys anymore. But they do. All kids want their toys. They're throwing the toys out of the pram, right? Diaz is throwing his toys. He's Masvidal, his big fight, his payday, his BMF belt. He's throwing them out of the pram saying, you know what? Fuck you. I didn't even want it. I don't want to fight. I'm going to go home. I'm going to take my ball. So fuck you guys. No, you want to go to Madison Square Garden next week. You want to be involved in an iconic fight. You want to get paid a massive amount of money. You want to put on a legendary fight that the world is going to go crazy for, as does Masvidal. One of you is going to get that $50,000 belt and a huge fucking payday, and your stock is going to go through the roof. That's what you want. That's what the fans want to see. That's what everybody wants to see. And ultimately, that's what Diaz wants, because he's worked so hard. So don't just say, don't throw your toys out the pram. Sit down, work with USADA, work with the UFC, and figure it out. You've still got a bit of time to do so.
I think he will. I think, you know, the reality is all these guys, I think they try to save face. They're trying to create their public perception, their image. And then when the doors are closed behind the scenes, I think it's a little bit of a different story. I think they're a little bit more willing to negotiate. Everyone, you know, also, to be honest with you, this is why fighters have agents, managers, people to discuss things for them. Because the reality is, like, no, to be honest, Nate probably isn't the one sitting in a room right now having this conversation back and forth. It's his entire team, and he's just on Twitter and he's smoking blunts right now, and he's like, all right, call me when you figure this shit out. That's Nate Diaz's life. How cool is that? Like, literally, there's this big problem, and he goes, all right, motherfuckers, figure it out. I'm gonna tweet some shit. I'm gonna go smoke a blunt right now, and that's his whole life right now.
But again, as I say, I mean, that may sound cool to you and some kids out there. You're like, oh man, he's such a rebel, bro. He doesn't give a fuck. It isn't going to earn him $2-3 million next week. It isn't going to set him up for the BMF title. It isn't going to, you know, further his career. But yeah, to a bunch of stoners and rebels out there, you know, just going, yeah, man, fuck this shit. I'm out, baby, bye. Yeah, that might seem cool for 2 minutes, right? But the millions of dollars that he could have earned, the iconic status he could have reached, being the legitimate baddest motherfucker on the planet, yeah, that's better. You know, it's funny, they reached out to Dana White for a comment on all of this. And Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports, he tweeted last night. He said, I've been trying to message Dana White all day to get a response from him. And eventually he texted me back and said, sorry, my bad. I was having dinner with the president.
Jesus.
Fucking, I know. Sorry, my bad. I was with the president of the United States.
Yeah. Dana seems pretty goddamn connected. Look, fuck. Yeah, the whole thing. I want to see the fight happen. I'm hoping that it will happen. I'm hoping that cooler heads prevail. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, if it doesn't happen, well, I guess Leon Edwards was, they're talking about him possibly stepping in.
Leon Edwards has confirmed that he is not on standby. I think he tweeted out last night or this morning. I saw a tweet anyway, this, unless I'm mistaken, but I saw a tweet that he was not paid to be the backup, and he will not be in New York.
Do they have a paid backup for every fight now?
No.
I don't know about every fight, Harry, but I do
know. Don't fucking chime in. I was asking the champ.
Yeah, I know. Jeez, every time you lean back there, it's like a little piece of me dies inside. A little piece of me wants to reach through the screen and fucking choke you, rape choke you with one hand and drink my coffee in the other. You know, every time you go to Harrington. But no, I don't think they do. Harrington, do they go to do they have a backup every time, Harrington?
No, they don't. They didn't have one for this last one with Whitaker versus Adesanya, for one example, and that was a massive fight taking place in Australia.
Well, look, you fought in a bunch of title fights. You fought in a bunch of number one contender fights. You've been in the business for as long as they come. Have you ever had to have a backup for one of your fights, Harrington?
God damn it.
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm talking to Harrington.
Yeah. No, never in a million years. Never even had a discussion of it. I think it's, you know, pretty much a new thing. I think one of the first times I heard it was for the Aldo McGregor fight. I think somebody was on standby, but generally, no, it's not a thing. But I do, I know they are starting to do that more if there's a possibility. I think generally when there's someone on the same card, I'm trying to think, there was someone in particular, was it Joseph Benavidez or somebody? Somebody was paid to be in camp for a fight. I forget who it was. All right, guys, let's just talk about CBD MD real fast. Listen, you've heard us talk about CBD. It's everywhere. As you know, it's nothing to do with getting high. It's to do with helping your body, helping it get back in homeostasis, relieving aches and pains, stiffness, range of motion, maybe anxiety. Maybe you got insomnia. Maybe you can't sleep. The reality is that CBD helps with all of these kinds of things. I've got many, many examples in my life where it's helped loved ones. I've got people on social media that hit me back and say, I started using it like just recently, yesterday. In fact, somebody saw the ad that I put on CBDMD on Instagram, and they came back and they said, listen, I thought I'd give it a shot, I'd give it a try. And he said, it's the best thing I ever did. Really helped with my anxiety, and it's really helped with his inflammation. So give it a try. You know, unfortunately, CBDMD, all grown in the USA, the highest quality of CBD, all grown organically inside the USA, as I said. And of course, we have a tremendous offer. Lewis, tell them all about it.
Yeah, right now, if you go to CBDMD.com, CBDMD.com, nice and simple, five letters, and you use the promo code BYM20, you're going to save 20% off your entire order. 20% off your whole order. Christmas is coming up. This is a great gift for people that are using CBD. I'm telling you right now, they have so many amazing different products that are available at CBDMD.com. This is a great gift because it does add up if you're using CBD regularly. So go to CBDMD.com, use that promo code BYM20 to save some cash.
Yeah, absolutely. You just want to reiterate, this is the post that I put on yesterday. After seeing some of your posts on CBDMD, I figured I would give it a shot for my anxiety issues, and I feel like it's helping me already, not just with anxiety, but with the aches and pains that I've had for years. That's from somebody we don't know, not affiliated to the show, nothing to do with CBDMD, just a random person that sent me that message saying thank you. So if it sounds like something you need, give it a shot. CBDMD.com, and the promo code is
BYM20.
All right, let's get back into it. Let's do a plug right now because I need to pee real bad.
No, it's gonna take a while. I'm gonna fucking hobble.
No, I'm gonna hobble off. I'll be right back. Two ticks. Yeah. 1 second, mate. Just take a break. 1 second.
No problem, dude. Real quick, guys. You love the show. Every episode we've ever done is available at your fingertips at GasDigitalNetwork.com. The entire on-demand library. Go to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. You get pre-release on the episodes, uncensored, ad-free, plus everything. The latest 30 episodes are available on iTunes and YouTube. I think we're changing that. It was 15, right? It was 30 now? It's going to be 30, right? Yeah, so you get the latest 30 episodes on iTunes, YouTube. Go subscribe on iTunes and YouTube as well. We love you for that. Go leave us a 5-star ranking, a positive review. Tell some friends about the show. We love it. And also, if you guys want to ever join the conversation, we have an email address, bympod@gmail.com, bympod@gmail.com. You can send us your video questions, fan art, really anything. If it's interesting, we'll play it on the show. And if it's not interesting, we might play it on the show and just make fun of you. So bympod@gmail.com. And last but not least, check out our website, Believe You Me Pod. Is it believeyoumepod.com? No, it's believeyoumepod.com. Right? Is it pod? Yeah. Okay. Or is it Believe You Me Podcast?
I believe it's Believe You Me Podcast. Let me double check that.
Just fucking double check, Harrington. Come on, man. Mr. Bisping is back.
Oh, sorry.
That was fucking jarring. That was terrifying.
Oh, man, it's so bad. It's so, if I bend my knee by accident, oh, God, the pain. Anyway, where were we? What are we talking about?
So, I mean, let's move on a little bit. Obviously, we're going to keep our eye on this, and if anything moves on that, maybe we'll do a special emergency broadcast if it happens before Monday. We could figure out another time to get this in, because I know.
Okay, great.
You're just hanging out. But let's talk about the McGregor press conference in Russia. This was, I guess, sort of a big deal. McGregor, another guy, I guess he said he's ready. And the idea of McGregor stepping in and fighting Masvidal on short notice, that sounds great on paper. But McGregor wants none of that fight. Short notice, that's crazy. 107. Wow.
If he's the real baddest motherfucker alive, like he claims, in fact, he even said that he is the baddest motherfucker, and that is an interim belt. Now, if you're a straight-up gangster, I mean, I know someone that wasn't training for a while. I think they were filming a movie in Toronto. They hadn't been in an MMA gym for 3 months, okay? And he decided to take on a world title fight at short notice. And he walked in and he knocked out the champion in one round. Okay. So this has been done before. This isn't beyond the realms of possibility. This is not sheer lunacy. This is a tried, tested, and proven method of coming out there and showing the world that you're a real badass, you know? So I think if he really, you know, if he is the man that he claims to be, then there you go. There it is. Step up. Send the text. Call Dana. Say, yo, I got this, bro. Hold my beer. I'm going in.
Yeah. He's getting fucking put on his ass by Masvidal in short notice. I'm telling you right now. Masvidal's good. Dude, and Conor's great. I mean, it's not like it's an unwinnable fight, but you have to be absolutely on top of your game. And Masvidal is going to be really on top of his game. You know, specifically preparing for Nate, who is, you know, just great boxing, just a volume. I mean, I'm assuming he's going to be ready to fight for 10 rounds coming into this fight. Conor McGregor, we've seen him gas. It's going to be short notice. There's just no chance. It gets out of the second, third round. I think Masvidal just lumps him up and finishes him.
Oh, yeah, but that's the whole risk of taking a fight on short notice. You're not in shape, but you still feel like you can get it done. You still feel you can go in there and knock this guy out. That left hand, baby. Once that left hand connects, right? No man can take it. The human skull cannot take this left hand, right? You don't need to be in shape to do that. Just land the left hand. Nah, he ain't gonna do that. I'm fucking about. But he did outline his return, which would be a fight in January 18th. They're saying it's either gonna be Cerrone or Justin Gaethje. I'd rather see Gaethje, but it's probably going to be Cerrone. Apparently, somebody reached out to Cerrone's management and they did confirm that Cerrone's going to be busy probably on January 18th. So he's more than likely going to be him. Then he wants to fight the winner of Masvidal Diaz. Then he wants to fight Khabib. Jesus Christ. You know, just call the shots. Call the shots, baby. Whatever you want. It's your world.
I'd want to see that trajectory. I'm not a huge Conor fan, but he's fighting Cerrone. If he is fighting Cerrone, great, good. They're doing what should happen. That's a fight that should happen. It's a great fight.
That fight should have happened two fights ago. Cerrone's on a two-fight losing streak.
So
right
is Conor. Conor's on like, what is he? He's like fucking one in five.
He's on a one-fight losing streak in the UFC. He lost to Khabib. He lost to Mayweather, and he hasn't fought MMA for 3 years. Prior to that fight with Khabib, it was 2016, and he beat Eddie Alvarez. He's on a one-fight losing streak. Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, I'd love to see Cerrone and Conor. Of course, it'd be a great fight, but I'd like to see him versus one of the top contenders like Justin Gaethje. That's, you know, just as a fan, I think that makes more sense. Gaethje versus Conor is more appealing to me.
I agree, and I think it's also a much tougher fight for Conor. I think that Donald Cerrone having, you know, he's got such a storied career, the most wins in UFC history. He's a really, really recognizable name, much more so than Justin Gaethje. I think that there's more appeal from sort of the general public. Like, it's a name. I think the average person walking down the street that watches MMA casually might not know who Justin Gaethje is, whereas everyone knows who Donald Cerrone is. He's, you know, that, you know, the cowboy hat, the marketing sort of built in. I think that that's sort of the reason why. I think also just stylistically, it's a great fight. No, they've both fallen on sort of harder times. So in my opinion, it is a fight that makes sense. And then if he does beat him, yeah, the winner of Nate Diaz versus Masvidal. Holy shit. Finally see the third fight between Nate Diaz, or you get to see him fight Masvidal. Wow, great fight, and he's coming. Now he's back on the winning track. He beat Donald Cerrone. And then if he gets through Diaz or Masvidal, fuck it, give him the title shot. Yeah, why not, baby boy? He got it there. He made his way there. He earned his keep. He didn't say, just give me a title shot automatically when I come back, which is what you assume he would want to do. He wouldn't fight for anything less than a title. He seems to be pretty motivated to... Fuck you, dude.
Wow.
Look at his face.
Wow. Did you hear that? Did you fucking hear that? Listen, oh my God. God,
I'm drinking proper 12 whiskey right now.
Right. What am I listening to? Yes, you're right. You are correct. Cerrone's a great fight, and I'd love to see it. Problem is, he's got to beat him. Second fight, Nate Diaz, great. Nate Diaz has got to get past Masvidal first, and honestly, we'll go into the breakdown. I don't see that happening, but we'll save that for next week. I'm going to fight Masvidal. He's probably going to get smoked. Then but imagine if he wins that. Then he fights Khabib. He's going to get, you know, who knows, you know. But, yeah, it is a decent trajectory. But first of all, let's just slow your roll. One fight at a time, baby boy. You know what I mean? One fight at a time. Just come back first. Make weight and win a goddamn fight.
I just like the fact that it's a little bit different than I thought Conor was going to go for. It's a little bit, and honestly, maybe he's just made so much money, he legitimately wants to return to his roots and fight. But didn't he say he would donate his purse to charity or something like that? Which might also just be, you know, blowing smoke up the public's ass. But hey, dude, this is a better Conor. This is a better Conor than we've seen for the past few years, where he just kind of, you know, comes in dressed like an asshole. He's calling the shots. Just, I don't know. This seems a little bit more humble. To take the Cerrone fight, in my opinion.
This is pure and simple to put pressure FC. Because Dana White came out yesterday and said, January 18th is the date that is proposed. But we're nowhere near to signing a deal. Right. So Conor was flown out, from what I can gather, and I'm sure there's a lot to the situation that I don't know, because I'm not privy to the inside information. You know, I don't speak to anybody in his management or anything, so I have no idea. But it was a betting company from Russia that brought him out, Parry Match or whatever the fuck it was called. Some betting website brought him out there, probably paid him a ton of money to do so. And they had this thing to get press, right? And what he did by going out there and naming January 18th and putting it out there, now he's put it on the UFC's, right? And the public demand, right? And Dana said, hold on a minute, we're a million miles away from signing a fucking deal yet. What does that tell you? Well, of course. The finances are in place. But if Conor goes out there, it's very smart, you know, and puts it out there for the world to know, and it creates the buzz, and it creates the demand, and it's all people are talking about. Then when they get back to the negotiating table, Conor's like, well, there you go. Look at it. Look at the thirst for it. Or, do you know what? I'm not going to fight. And you let down all the fans. You let down all the UFC fans because you wouldn't give me what I wanted. Okay, sure enough. So it's a negotiating tactic. I'm assuming, I don't know this, you know, I'm assuming, allegedly, I'm sitting here high on pain fucking meds, assuming everything, okay? So this could be wrong, but it seems like a hard, smart negotiation tactic.
And if it is, good for him. God bless him. I don't know. Maybe he's turning me. Conor McGregor has turned a corner in my heart. This is a new Conor McGregor. Well, I don't know what's going on, Michael Bisping. You know, you were the baddest motherfucker. Maybe up until this week, Conor McGregor might be taking that title back from you. Who knows?
Whoa. Are we forgetting this is the guy that goes out and punches fucking old dudes in the face, let alone all the other shit that's flowing down the internet? Okay, Lewis. Okay, fuck me. You don't need to do a lot to fucking turn your opinion, do you? Jesus Christ, you are easily swayed, my friend. I can't wait. Next time we have an argument, I guarantee I can get you back on side with, like, just doing like some weak, half-hearted ass gimmick. You know what I mean? My God, Lewis. My God, you've gone red in the face. I hope it's out of embarrassment. My God. Get
situation. I find it embarrassing.
You would be embarrassed. Yeah. Look. The McGregor obviously always creates a circus, always gets, and this is why when Dana White said a couple weeks ago or a week ago that Khabib is the man and calling the shots, and that I was like, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Look, Khabib is the man. And I think Khabib would wipe the floor with Conor, you know, 10 out of 10 times if they fought. But, you know, Conor McGregor, if this is a game of chess and he's making the UFC want to negotiate and it's just, he does it very smart. What was the one thing he tweeted? The one thing? What was the thing that he tweeted that, like, broke the internet? It was like a year or two ago. It was maybe during the Mayweather thing. And he was just like, look at my fucking tweet. It was like crazy. So he gets people talking.
You guys.
All right, Mike, let's take a quick moment and just tell everyone about Wix.com. Go check out our website, which is powered by Wix, believeyoumepod.com. So easy to build. They have a really, really simple, innovative technology that you basically drag and drop everything. You don't need to learn how to build a website or learn coding in order to do it. We literally had Harrington put together our website. You publish in a click and you make edits super fast, okay? Bisping, if you have a business, if you have anything, you need a website is essentially the business card of 2019. You need to have it. Otherwise, nobody's going to know where to find you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you take yourself seriously, if you want to be taken seriously, pardon me, if you want to, you know, be a player in the game or whatever it is, whatever idea you have, you need a website to be taken seriously, to gain followers, to get your word out there, to sell things, to sell merchandise, or just to reach people and share your opinion, you need a website. Get involved today, okay? Get started on your next client website today. Go to Wix.com/believe. That's Wix, Wix.com/believe. Wix.com/believe. And yeah, get building your website today, baby boy. Okay, where were we? Moving on. So obviously this weekend, we got a big fight. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, before you bring that up, Harrington sent me this. I don't even know if you want to address it, but we are talking about Connor and his boy, Dylan Danis, I guess, addressed you specifically in a video. I don't know if you saw this.
Not really. I saw something, Harrington, but go on, play it. This guy's a fucking idiot. Go ahead.
I haven't seen this. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Some of you listened to Michael Bisping's podcast.
I can't see.
But he kept like making fun of like me, saying that the kid needed jiu-jitsu, and jiu-jitsu want to help him in a fight, in a street fight, and all this stuff. And like Michael Bisping's a world champion, a martial artist his whole life. And, you know, he should understand that martial arts isn't all about defending yourself. It's about building confidence, discipline. You know, it has so much more than just using it in the street fight or in a fight. And I thought someone like him would understand that. And it was actually pretty embarrassing to see him talk about martial arts like that. And yeah, I don't know. He was saying oh, what's this guy gonna do with like eight guys jumping him, like break his arm in an arm bar? He's gonna get knocked out. Like saying stupid stuff like this. Like the kid doesn't need jiu-jitsu, you know, and stuff like that. So I don't know. I feel like that rubbed me the wrong way, especially coming from someone like him who martial arts made him a world champion and done so much great in his life. You know, martial arts isn't just about fighting. It's about discipline, confidence, respect, like, and it builds you into someone that nothing else can.
You tweeted a couple of days ago, the ultimate aim of martial arts is not having...
All right, first of all, what a fucking tool. All right, hold on, there we go. What a tool, right? We spoke about that, those kids getting bullied. We said I was utterly disgusting, and then we always end up finding a bit of comedy in any situation.
We're kidding. Okay,
so wait to take it out of context, you fucking fool. Secondly, how... If you talk about anything being embarrassing, you are the biggest fool in mixed martial arts. You can go to your Twitter timeline and it is just the biggest, most embarrassing pile of shit you have ever seen in your fucking life. Then let's not get started on your MMA career. Okay. You're claiming, oh, I own Bellator. I'm the highest paid fighter in Bellator. Your opponents have like one win and 17 losses, something like that. They are fucking terrible. And also, I stand by my words. If there's 7, 8, 9 guys trying to beat you up, trying to get one of them in a rear naked choke is not the way to go. That's what we were saying. But I speak at length with passion all the time about the benefits of martial arts for young children. I'm opening a chain of gyms in the UK built on that, that in itself, that is the whole reason for us doing it. To martial arts is for the family, not just for fighters, for young children, for honor, integrity, discipline, confidence, self-defense, self-empowerment, you name it. But we're having a bit of fun afterwards. For him to say that it's embarrassing, oh my God. Let's bring up his Twitter feed randomly.
Well,
let's
even bring up- before you do that, let me
Twitter feed, go ahead.
Sorry, I want to chime in as well, because it was two parts. You kind of hit it there. It was number one, we're speaking in a, you know, almost like a very like brazen way, and we're trying to be funny. So we're making each other laugh. And, you know, the idea that you're doing jiu-jitsu, you know, you're going to throw an armbar while the other guys kick your ass. It was funny. And that's what we were talking about. But if you break it down in more of a literal sense, like, yeah, in that moment, jiu-jitsu is not really the thing that's going to help you. Knowing how to throw a punch, knowing how to kickbox, you know, that was actually the point that you had made, was actually striking is better in sort of in that moment. And I've actually heard Rogan and Eddie Bravo break that down specifically, that exact point, and those guys are lifelong jiu-jitsu guys. Eddie Bravo is one of the most famous jiu-jitsu coaches in the world. So, you know, this isn't a crazy thought here. But the reality is, and if you look, and it's a nuanced conversation. Yeah, my son is in jiu-jitsu, and he has a different level of confidence now than he had before he started. And I think he'll continue to grow with that confidence You might not end up in that situation because you're carrying yourself different. So yes, jiu-jitsu will 100% help a kid who doesn't know how to fight, and to help him get to a place where he could defend himself in a confident way, even just not even being the kid to be bullied. Because typically if you hold yourself a certain way, people will walk to the next guy who's not holding himself that way. But don't be a fucking literal asshole and go on Ariel Helwani's show and try to paint it like Michael Bisping's not a martial artist or not respecting martial arts. Because if you listen to the show, we do 2 shows a week, 3-4 hours sometimes per week. There's probably nobody that I know that has more respect for mixed martial arts, I mean, in every aspect of it, you know, and you're very open and honest about it. So don't only explain that one side of it when you want a big show like Ariel's, and it sort of makes you look stupid when you're just picking out one little bit and piece, especially when we were kidding.
Yeah, no, 100%. We're not trying to ridicule the child. We're not trying to ridicule martial arts. We're not trying to ridicule self-defense. What we are doing, and doing it very, very well, is ridiculing you, Dylan Danis, you fucking joke of a person. What would MMA be without me? Oh my God. Next tweet. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Oh my God. I mean, how many fights has this guy had? 3 or 4 fights? Tops. That's it. I mean, I get it. You're a pretty good grappler. But again, I would love to see Dylan Danis take out 9 fucking guys in a street fight.
Did you
by
see?
Doing rolling heel hooks. No, I didn't see.
Did you see? I guess he's warring with Logan Paul. Is that happening? Is he talking shit to him?
Yeah, he's trying to fight Logan Paul. He's trying to do anything he can to be a celebrity, to be a big deal. I mean, he's had about 3 fights. I guess we're talking about him. I mean, who would want to see this? I mean, Jesus Christ, you're a joke. You're a fucking joke. You're a bad smell. You're a stain on mixed martial arts. Just disappear to whatever fucking rock you crawled under from and stop wearing Connor's shitty leftover secondhand clothing, because you look fucking retarded. My God, there you go. And if you got a problem with it, baby boy, come see me in person, because I, you know, I'll do my talking face to face, and I'll the same fucking tone with one leg when I see you, you skinny, scrawny little jumped up cunt. Let's fucking go.
6 to 8 weeks, you come see Michael Bisping after a couple weeks of physical therapy.
No. Come see me now. Come knock on my front door.
Dude, if he shows
come
up.
Come knock on my front door right now.
He shows up.
On my front door right now, you weird fucking asshole. With a stupid, fucking super loud, bright, frilly Dolce and Gabbana all over you. And we're like, oh my God, he's a big deal. He's such a big deal. He's wearing the brand's name all over the shirt just so everybody knows that he's rich and it's designer. Oh my God, Versace, head to toe. Oh my God, you're such a big fucking deal, you cringe bag motherfucker.
I think
get a grip.
Said it best.
I think that right now, I think you'd have a real hard time with him. I gotta be honest with you. It's just, you know, if he gets a hold of that leg, some sort of knee bar, ankle lock, doggy, it's gonna be a short fucking night. And I know you don't tap, but it's gonna be painful.
Lewis, stop. Listen, of course we're joking here, but you're just playing into his narrative, because when he watches this back, like I'm assuming he's scouring the internet every night, looking for his name, Googling his own name, looking for it. And when he sees you saying that, he's like, yes, yes, see, even his own host says it, his own, no, hey. And he's calling over his own sycophants, his own Harringtons, his own Bryans, his own Shannons. He's like, look at this. And Lewis knows, because Lewis is a New York guy. He's probably seen me around. He's probably, he knows my reputation on the streets, bro. Okay, that's what it is.
Hey man, I got no problem with Dylan Danis. Connor, Dylan, if you guys want to party, you call me, baby boy.
How many fights has Dylan Danis had?
I don't even know. Not that many, right? Two? He's had two.
Cares. Ooh. All right, let's stop talking about him, please. Damian Maia versus Ben Askren, taking place tomorrow morning, nice and early, 8 a.m., I believe.
Is it 8 a.m.?
As the fight's happening in Singapore. I believe it starts at 8 a.m. Pacific. Just check that out. I could be wrong. It could be 8 a.m. Eastern. I'm not sure. But yeah, it's an early one. They're in beautiful Harrington.
Main card starts at 8 a.m. Eastern.
Well.
Yeah. So that's 11 a.m. for me. Perfect. Yeah, they're all in Singapore. My dad's out there. My dad and little Mick.
It's 5 a.m.
They're out there. 5 a.m.
Yeah, it's 8 a.m.
Oh,
Eastern.
Yeah.
5 a.m. for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, whatever. Is that prelims, Hamilton, or is that the main card?
That's the main card. Fight Pass prelims are going to be on at like probably 4 a.m. here.
Ooh, that's not going to happen.
Probably going to be a replay.
I did this for the Zhang card. That's a card you could get a nap right now, started at midnight, and it would be like, you know what I'm saying, Mike? It'll start like 1 a.m. for you.
The only problem with that, having that would mean that I am literally organizing my life so I can get up and watch that fight. I got bigger fish to fry, doggy. I got one leg. I got rehab to do. I got things to do. I got three children. I got businesses. I got podcasts to do. I can't go, you know what? I'm going to adjust my sleep patterns right now and go to sleep so I can get up and watch that card, especially when it's on Fight Pass and I'll watch it later that day. You know what I'm saying, doggy?
Sorry, I thought you were dedicated, Mike. My bad.
Yeah, and it's also, let's not get it twisted, where I think they're both incredible, is Damian Maia versus Ben Askren. How the fuck do you expect him to stay awake when Damian Maia and Ben Askren are fighting to begin with?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I love Damian Maia, and we're massive fans of Ben Askren. And let me tell you something, this. Damian Maia, I was telling this to Rebecca the other day. I could not be a bigger fan of Damian Maia. Right. Number one, I love the way he fights. He's a true technical specialist. He's true to his style. He hasn't changed. You know, he stayed to his roots. But when you sit down and you talk to him, just the fucking nicest guy. One of the nicest, most intelligent, pure, friendly, interesting, holds a good conversation. You know what I mean? I'm a fucking huge fan. But this is an interesting clash of styles because obviously, you know, got Askren, who wants to take everybody down to the floor. And you've got Damian Maia that everybody normally tries to avoid going to the floor with. So it's a really interesting one because obviously Askren got knocked out in 5 seconds last time off Masvidal. And I actually thought at that time, is he done? Are we ever going to see Askren fight again? Maybe after that, he's going to walk away. But no, he showed he's got balls. He showed he's a true fighter. He wants to bounce back. And I respect that. And he's taken on stylistically a very, very tough match because if he takes Damian Maia down, you're in Damian Maia's world. Now, of course, Askren's a great grappler. He's got great wrestling. You got to give him the wrestling advantage, but you got to give the jiu-jitsu advantage to Damian Maia. Now, the wrestling advantage means Askren's going to take him down. But Maia wants you to take him down. Right. So then therefore you're in Maia's game. So I don't know, man. It's a tough fight for Askren, and I really respect him taking it on.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, I take that. If I got knocked out the way he got knocked out against Masvidal, I would also be looking to fight a grappler. I would say, you know what, dude, let's just try our hand with a different strength just for, you know, why not, you know? And I am fucking around when I am saying that they're boring, because to be honest with you, a lot of the times those fights that look like they're going to be boring on paper, they end up being really good, especially with two high-level grapplers. You know, Ben Askren and Damian Maia, they could very well just fight they could end up just fighting a stand-up fight with, you know, going for it. You know, maybe it won't be the most technical stand-up fight. They don't have the greatest kickboxing in the world. But Damian Maia, if I'm not mistaken, his kickboxing's looked pretty good lately. In the past few fights, I've seen him doing really well. And Ben Askren, he's got heavy hands as well. We've seen him TKO a few people. So maybe through a crazy chain of events, this ends up being a great fight. We talked about it last week. You know, the fights that look like they're going to be unbelievable on paper. Ngannou versus Derek Lewis. Thought that was going to be the greatest fight of all time, and then ended up being boring. So you never know. I love Damian Maia. I love Ben Askren. You know, they're both great fighters. I'm hoping that it ends up being a really good fight, but I have a feeling it's going to end up sort of being like a slow pace grappling match.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a grappling match. I think that both men believe in their styles. And I think we're going to see a true old school display of martial arts. I'm actually really excited for this fight. You know, purely from a technical standpoint, I think, you know, a lot of the time when people want to get the win, they're like, you know, you got two grapplers, they'll stay on the feet, you know, or they can't get one another down. I think both of these guys are saying, listen, no, we're coming into this fight. This is wrestling versus jiu-jitsu, and let's see who prevails. So I think they are going to go to the floor. I think they're going to welcome that, and they want to test their style, which they believe in their style. You know what I mean? So they want to show on behalf of the wrestling world that wrestling can beat jiu-jitsu, and jiu-jitsu wants to say, and Maya's representing all the jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu people out there, look at this. Here's one of the best wrestlers in the world. I'm going to beat him at his own game, and I'm going to finish him. Now, let's remember, wrestling is an art which is used to take people down to the floor, and then they control them. They look for pins, and they look for control. Jiu-jitsu is a finishing art. You know what I mean? With hundreds of different submissions, very, very nasty ways to choke you unconscious, to break bones, to inflict pain, to get the tap. And then when the tap comes, that's it. The fight's over. So you got to lean towards Damian Maya. And of course, when you look at his resume, I mean, he was on a 7-fight win streak. He beat a bunch of people, Ryan LaFleur, Neil Magny, Gunnar Nelson, Matt Brown, Carlos Condit, and Jorge Masvidal, right? That's a great winning streak, 7 in a row. Then he loses to Tyron Woodley in a title fight. No shame to that. Then he loses to Colby Covington. Decision. No shame in that. And then he loses to Kamaru Usman, who's now the champion. So when you look at those three losses, I mean, there's no shame there. They're like probably the three toughest people in the division on paper. Then he bounces back. He beats Lyman Good. Then he beats Anthony Rocco Martin. You know, so on paper, Damian Maya, his stock has not dropped. And I am Askren, did make or break in some ways for him.
Of course. Well, and I forgot that I completely forgot about the Woodley versus Damian Maya fight, which was also considered one of the most boring fights of all time. That was like a really like, you know, it's rare that Dana White comes out afterwards. It just was like, fuck that fight. But Askren and Woodley have been longtime training partners. So maybe there is something in that that style. You remember Woodley fought a very, very safe fight against Damian Maya and was able to essentially just neutralize him the whole time. Just kind of, you know, just it was essentially a perfect fight. He didn't get hit at all. He didn't get there was no threat of losing that fight at all. So maybe that's also the game plan from Askren, which could be a boring night for the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. For me personally, that Damian Maya versus Tyron Woodley fight, I thought it was phenomenal. I mean, Dana White came out afterwards. He said that fight sucked. It was the most boring fight ever. And he's not fighting George St. Pierre. I'm going to give the fight to Michael Bisping because Michael Bisping will fight, right? And that ended up earning me a couple of million dollars. So for me, I love that Tyron Woodley versus Damian Maya fight. And to be fair, Damian Maya was the one pressing. Woodley fought a smart fight. He stopped all the takedowns and outstruck him. You know, was it a high output? Was it the most exciting fight? No. But I understand Woodley's perspective. He was the champion. You got a lot to lose there. He played it safe.
You can't fault a guy for fighting a perfect fight. It's like GSP used to do that. You know, before he retired, he started getting very, very safe toward the end of his career. And you're like, well, there's something to a guy who fights a perfect fight, who's not taking like much damage, who's, you know, who's taking his opponent out of every element. John Jones fights those fights. You know what I'm saying? Like John Jones fights damn near perfect, you know, for as good as you're going to do against some of the competition. So I'm not faulting Tyron Woodley, but yeah, just sometimes fans don't like to watch that type of stuff.
Okay, so we haven't actually given official picks for a while. So let's do this on this main event. Right, I'm going to say
Where's our BIM coin at, though? Where's our BIM coin count?
Ooh, BIM coin. Where we at, babies?
Well, Lewis, you are standing strong on your 57, I believe it is. Mike Reed up for 500, assuming that he does, in fact, make that donation to charity, which I'm sure
Fuck
he
you.
What donation to charity? What are you talking about?
We had a deal. You get 500 more BYM coin if you make a donation to charity.
Do you get 10%? You have to pay 10% of real cash for, you know, a multiple of 10 of BIM coins.
So I make $50 to charity.
And it's a charity that I choose.
Okay, so when I come into the Gas Digital Studios, if I treat everybody there at the Gas Digital Studios to pizza, beer, cupcakes, maybe some nice fanfare, maybe a couple of go-go dances, everything, is that charity? I'll do that. When I come in, we have a big party on me. Boom, Gas Digital Network party paid for by my ambition. I'll go over $50, but I don't want the extra BIM coin. It's okay. That's what I do. It's how I roll. It's just me.
That's not charity. That is Harrington likes the idea because he's homeless and that'll be the only meal he has that week.
I am so hungry.
That's what I'm saying. Pizza, beer, cold drinks, maybe a little massage. Maybe some people come in and they put on a show for us. Some fire eating, sword swallowing, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do in your spare time. You want to swallow swords in the back room with the lights off? Fine by me. Go ahead, baby boy. But I ain't paying for that shit.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes. I'm going to put a sword in your mouth, Harrington.
Sword swallowers. All right. So how many BIM coin I got? 500?
It's fucking ridiculous. He's cheating. That's not fair. You can't just have 500 BIM coin.
Yeah. Well, I took my 50 back, so you're at 450.
Whoa.
Come on, man.
All right. It's simple. You can match my 50 bucks, put it towards the Gas Digital Networks party, and I'll double it. I'll put more in. When I come in, we're going to put on a bit of fanfare. You can get another 500 like that if you're willing to put the hand in the park.
Fine. I'll put in my hand in my park, and I'm not going to throw out the baby with the pram and fucking something else.
So now you got 500. We're even, Steven.
No, I have 557, baby boy.
Well, you will make your fucking pick. Big swinging dick. Make your pick all day.
No prob, Dirty Rob. We're going to go with... I feel like I should probably...
Bearing in mind, you're pretty tight with Ben Askren. I mean, you mention it every time his name's brought up, fan of the show, you and him go way back, you're kind of cool with one another. So remember, he's going to see this. He's going to see this, so you got to bear that in mind when you make your pick. How big are your balls? Can you stay true to the word? See, this is the thing. Everyone thinks it's easy when you're on the desk doing the pre-fight show and the post-fight show. They think, oh, you're getting paid, you're on TV. No, your neck is on the chopping block. You got to make a decision, and those fighters are going to see it. So which way do you lean? Baby boy, which way do you lean?
What are the odds, Harrington?
I have right now Ben Askren is -172, Demian Maia is +140.
So Demian Maia is the underdog.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, baby, I'm putting $250 on my boy Demian Maia. Bimcoin, whatever.
That's no fun. You're supposed to pick on your friend. Pick your friend, because I'm picking Damian Maia all day long.
I can't lie.
Damian Maia, by submission, round three. Boom. Lose the round. Lose the round. Damian Maia by submission.
Well, is that different odds? That is different odds, right?
Yeah, it is, but I'm taking that out. I'm just saying, I say Damian Maia in the later rounds, 3, 4, 5, he's going to catch him and get a submission. Probably a rear naked choke.
Maia by submission is you're getting over 3-1 +320. And I can look up Maia in the rounds if you want to pick a round.
What about Ben Askren by submission?
+700. That's where I'm putting my Bimcoin.
Ooh, doggy. I might actually put my Bimcoin in there. That's a good bet right there.
All right, I'll do this. Right, I'm gonna put 100 on Ben Askren by submission, because that'll get me $700 back, or 700 Bimcoin. And I'm gonna put 300 on Damian Maia to win submission anytime. Boom, there you go. I got 400 Bimcoin in play.
How does that work,
How big are you? How does it work?
If it goes to decision, he's fucked. Other than that, though, he's, you know.
No. All right.
Hold on. It's a little confusing. All right, whatever. Figure out the math on that, Harrington, regardless.
Okay. There's nothing confusing about it. $100, 100 Bimcoin on Ben Askren to win by submission. 300 let's do this. 300 on Maia to win. Period. There we go. No submission. Just a win. Just a cheeky win.
300 to win +420 on that win. And if Askren does somehow pull up a submission, he's getting back, still getting back 700.
What are the odds that the whole fight just goes to decision? No winner.
Fight goes to decision +125.
All right. I'm going to put 450 Bimcoin that it goes to decision. That's what I want.
You got it.
What are the odds that all this talk of Harrington giving his odds and -150s that we've lost half of our listeners right now.
They like it.
Okay, Jesus Christ. Just get to the point. Make your fucking pick. They don't even have any Bimcoin. People want to buy in Bimcoin. Listen, we're going to start a cryptocurrency. If you want to buy some Bimcoin, we're going to do an IPO, ICO, initial coin offering coming very, very soon. We'll get my buddy Will Lowe from Timmy Coin in. We're going to start it. You're going to buy in. It's the currency of the future. But there you go. So hold on. For the record, who have you got winning?
Askren? For the record, I got Askren winning, but I'm only betting that it's going to a decision altogether. 450 Bimcoin.
All right. And I've got Maia winning, probably by submission, but officially for the bet, 300 for Maia to win, and I'm putting 100 on Askren to pull off a submission at any time. All right. Cool. Questions?
No questions, but we do have a few submissions for the annual believe you me, I believe that I can get in better shape than you competition. I just named it just now. That was off the dome. The believe you me, I believe that I can get in better shape than you competition. Dun, 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 dun. We have music that'll be edited in later. Dun, 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 dun. So we have a few people. Here's the rules. You have to send in a before shot with today's newspaper, and then you have to send in an after shot. And what are the dates that we're going to end this?
Take your shirt off right now.
No
you
way.
You take yours off, I'll take mine off.
No way.
What? Come on.
I'm a fat fuck right now.
I'm out of shape. I have not worked out in weeks. I have had surgery. I'm a mess. But we're gonna show them their chests. We're gonna hark at them. We're gonna make fun. We're gonna belittle them. Let's be honest. But you know, but it's all in good nature. Can you not join the show? Can you not join in? Can you not show a little moral support? Can you not bare your chest?
I'm going to take my shot, and I'm going to take a series of like 300 or 400 shots, and whichever one looks, I look like the least of a mess, like I'm going to send that one in, and we'll do it on Monday's show. We will do it on Monday's show. No questions asked. Me and you will do our before shots, and it'll be 8 weeks?
Something like that. Yeah, bearing in mind, I've been told 4 to 6 months before I make a full recovery. I've been told I won't be able to walk for about 6 weeks because I honestly thought at this point now I'd be like gently exercising and riding my Peloton or maybe getting a bike and getting some fresh air and, you know, rolling through the hills of Anaheim Hills and just like pling pling on my bike and waving at people and just like, they're like, oh, there he goes. He can't run. He used to run around here all the time, but look at him. God bless. He had a knee surgery only a week ago, but look at him. He's out here. He's working the leg. He's getting the range of motion. He's getting some fresh air. He's getting some sunlight. I mean, look at me. Look at the complexion of me. I'm going so white because I have not seen sunlight in forever. And even still on that prognosis that my leg being so bad and I cannot work out, yeah, we got about 10 weeks and I'll still beat you.
You're so white that I actually thought you died and your ghost showed up for the show today.
I look like, you know those, do you know those like little animations that they do on Instagram? You know, like after every fight at the weekend and it has, you know, they have the animations of the fight. They go, whoosh, 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 and then Dana comes in or Connor will come in and I've been on there a couple of times. You know what I'm talking about, right? Those animations.
I'm just going to say, I'm just going to say yes so you don't get upset.
And then the ghost of Ben Askren comes up and he goes, ha, 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 ha. You never seen those.
No,
you
I must haven't.
Yeah, anyway, I look like that. You're right. Fucking useless.
So let's see some of these bodies. We're going to end the competition. Today is October 24th, 25th, right? We're going to... We're going to say New Year's Day. New year, new you. The new year, new you. Believe you me, I believe my body is better than your challenge.
New Year's Day is a bad one. New Year, because like you're coming off the Christmas week, right? You got Christmas Eve, you got Christmas Day, then you got Boxing Day. It's a lot of food, probably a lot of alcohol. It's a lot of carbohydrates, you know. You need to, we're supposed to do January 18th, I believe. So well, let's stick with that.
This is kind of interesting, though. He sent this in, Harrington. It's a little late, but it's still pretty great. Between both fighters... Ben Askren and Damian Maia, they land an average of how many strikes per minute, Michael Bisping? How many do you think per minute, an average between them? Strikes per
0.7.
minute.
0.7.
0.7. No, but that's actually a good guess. What did you, do you remember your striking per minute?
Oh, it's very high. 5.49, 7.62. I remember once I peaked out like 13.7 per minute, which was freakily high. People were very blown away by it. No, go on. What is the average?
1.71 strikes per minute.
Yeah, but the grapplers. I mean, yeah, that is kind of low. But the grapplers, their main game is to take people down and get hold of them. So that's not surprising. Not surprising at all. Stop trying to discredit this matchup. Okay, show me some naked people that need self-improvement that we can hark at.
All right, first person up is Jason.
Hmm.
Yeah. Jason, hold on 1 second. Rebecca, back, come in here and help me judge some naked people. But Lewis, first of all, I want to hear your breakdown on and who we're talking to here, Jason.
Yeah, Jason, first of all, I just want to play with his tits. They're not bad, dude. They look supple. They look thick. He's got tiny little nipples. I like it. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, how are you?
I've been better. We're looking at naked men right now. So we've had better. Is this a lower point?
What are we judging on? We're looking at him shirtless. This is the BYM Improve Yourself, Believe You Me Challenge, whatever. He's got his shirt off. I'll tell you this right now. I feel like he's pushing that belly out. He's trying to cheat. He's forcing the belly out. So therefore, in a few weeks, I mean, he could take an inhale. He could take a breath right now, and he would instantly look better. This man is trying to cheat the system. Rebecca, how do you feel about this man's appearance?
He's quite bloated. Like, his face looks bloated. I think he must like eat a lot of fast food and alcohol. But I think in a couple of weeks he's gonna look a lot better once he cuts all that out. It's just the bloat's gonna go.
Yeah, Michael Bisping, I don't agree with you that he's just pushing his stomach out, because there's no way to push that second chin out of his neck. There's no angle that he's gonna get that on. So yeah, this is definitely a fat man. But I think you're right. He's probably giving a little bit more out. That's not against the rules, though, okay? This is not when Daniel Cormier was grabbing onto the towelgate, you guys remember. This is completely within the rules of the game. It is going to be a before picture and after picture. This is his entry. Rebecca, if you don't know, the idea is we're doing a weight loss challenge for the fans. You know, this is going to be, we're actually going to pay the debt.
Also, I have spotted another way that this man is cheating. If you look very closely on his belt buckle, right, look at how many empty notches there are. He's really like, he's yanked that belt in as much as possible to accentuate the belly. I mean, look at that. He could release that belt a little bit. The tension is crazy.
On that one before.
Oh, yeah. You see there, zoom in again. There's one that he's put in before that he's made. He's like, he's made his own hole with like a barbecue skewer. Look at that. Look at that. In fact, we're sending the man a new belt, but we thank you for your entry, sir. Okay. Without further ado, shall we see the next entrant?
Next one up is going to be Mitch.
Oh, Mitch. Good old Mitch. How's Mitch been? Let's take a look. Oh, side on.
Mitch is trying to show off his dick. We all know what's going on, Mitch. He's wearing gray sweatpants. You little fucking sex kitten, Mitch.
It's a very low quality picture.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, I think I see an Apple logo on the phone, which is curious, okay? Certainly rocking one of the earlier models. Now, as you say, there was definitely a bit of a bulge going on. Bit of a bulge going on in the trousers department. I think he's trying to show that off there. Oh, front view. Okay, what do you think of this man, Rebecca? All right, put it this way. You're in a bar, you're there, you've had a heavy day, okay? I've fallen out with you. You're young, free, and single. This man approaches you. He's shirtless. It's a hot, sunny night, okay? You've had a couple of margaritas. He walks up with the sweatpants on. He's like, hey, what's up, girl? How you doing? What
do you need any? I love how you did a Mexican accent. You were like, hey, senorita, you need any yard work done? I can help you.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't feel like this man has much to lose either. I mean,
he's pretty skinny, actually. He's just got a bit of a belly.
Yeah, these guys are all, they all drink too much beer. Our fan base needs to stop drinking beer, and they'd be actually in great shape.
Yeah, they need to switch to hard liquor. That's my plan. You know what I mean? No more alcohol, no more beer, just tequila, vodka. In fact, by the way, 5 days vegetarian. I haven't had a drink all week. Ba-dum. Next entry, please.
Okay, so actually, I made a mistake. That was Bruno, not Mitch. This is Mitch.
Okay.
Ah, Mitch. Oh. Mitch. Yeah. He's got the newspaper up. Good.
Put it in this. You put it in the far one. I don't know why you put it in the far one. Just put it in the close one. Anyway, back to Mitch. I mean, look at this. Sick tats. You know, he's definitely got a bit of a gladiator influence going on there. What's he called?
Fat the stomach.
Actor. Bit of a Tom Hardy look going on, would you say?
Slightly. I think he's been in shape at one point, and then he's just like let himself go a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Lewis? That's literally what my body looks like. Like, I used to be in shape. You could tell. You can see my chest. But then it all starts to droop down like a melted candle toward the middle. And I feel Mitch. Because the problem with Mitch is this motherfucker, he could do a podcast from the waist up and be like, that's a handsome guy. But you get that shirt off, Mitch. Mitch is a problem because he Trojan horses himself, his fat body, into women's lives. Because they meet him at a bar and they're like, oh, that's a handsome guy. He's got nice shoulders, nice arms. Then he takes his shirt off and it's just too late. These poor women. Mitch, you should be ashamed.
I've got a real issue with the pec muscles. I feel like if I just took my finger and went bling, 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 they would bounce up and down like a real poor set of tits. You know what I mean? There's no musculature there. There's no definition. There's no firmness. There's no toughness. He looks like he hasn't done a push-up all his life. And there's the face that says it. He's like, yeah, I know. I've got pecs that I haven't done a push-up all year. You know what I mean? But I got a sick phone. Better than the last guy's phone. That one sucked. I mean...
He obviously cares about his appearance because he's got the tats. So he obviously cares about what he looks like.
Oh, so now anybody that has a tat cares about their appearance?
Yeah.
That's right, baby. so Rebecca always flirts with me. It's weird for the fans because Rebecca always flirts with me on the show. But we've accepted it. At this point, we're okay with it. Bisping's cool with it. I'm cool with it. She's cool with it. We're all friends.
We're all friends. It's all good. But listen, you know, hey, if you're doing a bit right now, you're making a woman feel uncomfortable. Okay, you got to be careful. You want to start them. Rebecca's got a massive social media following these days. Rebecca,
I'm so big right now.
She's going to turn all her posse against you.
Listen to me. Never. If I have one more blonde woman try to destroy me this week, I'm going to have a fucking nervous breakdown, okay?
Christ, first world problems. I've just got blonde women trying to destroy me everywhere I go.
Right.
All right, we got anybody else or no?
That's it. That's it for this week. You can still send them in, guys. You can still send them in. We'll give you up until Halloween. You can send your pictures in up until Halloween. January 18th, we will give away an ultimate prize package. Plus, you're going to be a better you. No matter what, everyone wins here, except for anybody watching these before photos. All right, we got to wrap this one, Bisping. I got to go pick up my son. Thank you.
Sorry, go ahead.
Thanks for listening or watching or whatever it is. We appreciate it. Go share the show with a friend. And Mrs. Bisping, thank you very much for hanging out with us. Michael?
Monday, we are partaking ourselves, Lewis. So we got to remove shirts. Otherwise, we can't expect the believers to do it and us not take part. So Monday, we're doing that.
We'll do the Halloween show shirtless, by the way. We'll do it fucking shirtless, the whole show.
Aisha style. And then we'll on Halloween night, we're gonna do, or whenever it is when we do the show, you're dressing up as me, I'm dressing up as you. I'm picking Damian Maia, probably by submission tomorrow night. Enjoy the fights. If you get up super early at that time, you're a nerd, but still enjoy. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, subscribe to the show, yada yada yada, blah blah blah. Much love from myself, Lewis, and all the team at Gas Digital Networks. Have a great weekend. See you next time.